My skin was like, breaking out like a freaking volcano. It's actually not that hard. Stop blaming everybody else that you should be this or should be. If it's not organic, you are eating more toxins than the actual fruit. We would all be linked, So when I'm on a period, you would be on a period too, because we live in the same village. Or like, oh, I'm just that who I am. I'm like, bullshit, that's not who you are. Butter supports your hormones, and hormones run everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Imagine if I actually decided to say I'm like a completely different person. You probably know already I'm your host. And today we have someone super fun on the show. She's actually one of my friends. I just went on her podcast. I'm going to put a link to that below because it was such an awesome episode. And today she is on the show and she's going to be talking to us about biohacking. So ladies, listen up. If you have been through a health challenge, are going through a health challenge, or want to avoid a health challenge, today's episode is for you. We're going to be diving into how to mega manifest using your femininity, how to really focus on your health. And I mean really focus on it, because if you've been through something, you understand when you don't have your health, it feels like you have nothing. Welcome to the show, Aggie Lau.
Thank you for having me. I 100% agree. Like, it's so easy to manifest from a place when you're super healthy. Yes. But if you're feeling terrible and low energy, it's so hard to make anything happen. So, yeah.
So tough. What? How did you even, like, you went through this illness. Like, look at you today. You're this, like, huge podcast star. You have an amazing show.
I love it. Keep on going.
She's going to clip it out. She's going to clip that bit. We love that, don't we? Always clip things that people say. I love it. Yeah. You have this amazing best-selling book, Biohack Like a Woman, How to Get Fit Effortlessly, Feel Beautiful, Have More Energy, and Unleash Your Superpowers with Biohacking. But what happened to know about this?
Great question. I was a travel influencer, traveling 300 days a year, and I was following the mainstream advice. I was counting calories, drinking oat milk lattes, drinking kale smoothies from Erewhon, and I was getting more and more sick. My period was super irregular. My skin was like, breaking out like a freaking volcano. My hair was falling out in patches. I had bald patches. Yeah.
Do you think it was the travel?
At the beginning, I was like, well, I'm traveling, changing time zone for sure. But it was actually my diet. So I still travel a lot, but I now know what's going on around me and how I can manage that.
So I'm just going to tap into two things. Yo, my ex-husband used to have the craziest crush on you.
What?
Oh my God. Yo, you just said you're a travel influencer called Aggie. I was like, girl, you're my friend, but I've just put two and two together. No, for real. Sorry if you're watching this, but like...
Am I uninvited now?
I'm not with him. Like, he's a friend, whatever. You're my girl. Like, I don't give a fuck. And I never even felt away because he crushed on you before we met, but like, yo, let me just tell you about this. So he would once be like, yo, we should do pictures like this couple, Aggie and your boyfriend's getting married to him. He's a photographer, and you guys travel the world, and he was like, look at their picture. I was like, she is so cute. And he was like, yeah, they're amazing. Oh my God, no way. And here she is. As long as my current boyfriend doesn't fancy you as
my fiance the other way around.
Oh my God. That is the funniest thing ever. No, that's super cool. Like, I actually love your content.
Thank you.
Like, because you were with someone, so it's never, worry,
Yeah.
But like, meeting you now, I'd be like, shit, fuck, if I was with him and he fancy you, I'd be like, but no, it was just, oh my God, that's such a small world. Okay, yeah. Crazy. So now I really understand where you were before. Now we dive into it. What were you eating? Like, what was your diet? What happened?
I mean, I followed the mainstream diet. I had a smoothie in the morning with kale because I thought, hey, that's healthy, right? Like, it's all over. Everyone with Hailey Bieber smoothie and all these things. We love Hailey, but maybe not exactly her smoothie. It's not what your body needs. Sorry. Oat milk latte first thing in the morning. and avocado toast and whatnot. So I got this device.
Which sounds really healthy. So all of that stuff I probably would have eaten.
Yeah, same. And I was like, well, I'm following this super healthy diet. Like I was vegan. I was like paying attention. I was avoiding cakes and sugar and whatever. So I was like, what's going on? And I got this device. It's called CGM that checks your blood sugar. So it's like you attach it for a week or two to your body and it tells you like your blood sugar. So blood sugar is what ages you, what has a massive impact on your breakouts, on your hormones and whatnot. And it was all over the place. And that's why I know that I can't have a smoothie. I can't have an oat milk latte. And I actually, you know, that avocado toast that I thought was so good for me, it's actually not exactly the best.
So, whoa, that's such a shock. Okay, so the blood sugar level, what did you do once you found the results?
Well, at the beginning, I was devastated. I was like, well, I'm trying to eat like all the girls on Instagram that are hot and, you know, look incredible. And I don't feel that way. So I felt broken. I felt like, why am I bloated all the time, right? And it's all that sugar that you're drinking, right? Especially oat milk. So the problem with oat milk and why oat milk is making you fat and bloated and miserable and sick, or at least it did for me, was because it's full of seed oils, which create inflammation. So that's why we're so puffy in our face if we have inflammation. It's full of like carbs. So it's like the carbs that are blended from oats turn into sugar.
And so oat milk's not good for you.
No, it's really bad actually.
What?
Yeah. So it's like, as if it's, you're drinking, people have different comparisons. It's like a bread drink, you know. You wouldn't blend white bread and drink it. You would think it's a little weird, right? But it's exactly what we're doing with oats.
Wait, so oats bad for me too?
Yes.
Oh, I eat them like every morning. I'm obsessed with them. Is it really bad?
Are they organic?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, organic.
Okay, organic are not so bad. But usually most people that don't eat organic oats, they're full of herbicide glyphosate. So it's basically what they spray with oats, you know, for bugs not to, you know, eat them. And that just creates like a massive inflammation in our gut. And that's the one thing I didn't understand. I didn't know what gut was. I was like, oh, that thing in our stomach. Da-da-da. It's like, if it gets leaky, again, inflammation is such a difficult word, but ultimately inflammation ages you and makes you puffy. Because it's like when you twist your ankle, right? Like it gets puffy and swollen. So it's literally what happens in your belly and it happens on your face. And like when you look at my photos, my face was like three times as big and it was really uneven. And it wasn't because I was fat. I had like so much inflammation in my body.
So inflammation, we all know, and maybe somebody doesn't know, but it's the root of dis-ease.
Yes.
When I had inflammation in my body, I was eating tomatoes. My mom grew them in her garden. I would eat them by the dozen every day. I would eat all these vine fruits, from where I'm from, that's not something I should be eating because of my heritage and the DNA and all the hereditary things. And you could go on for days on why it is not good to eat vine, whatever you call them, vine plants. And so nightshades, that's it. So I was eating them thinking it was great. And then there and behold, I don't think it was the only thing. I think there was many other factors, and I could give you all of the things I ate, but I ate myself into disease.
Yeah. And I mean, that's where I was as well. And I think a lot of women are there in the same situation. And I think we're just so used to feeling tired. And I think that what you work with on a daily basis is making people like even snap out of that like mediocre level of like, it's good enough. Yeah. I feel good enough. And I'm like, but you can feel absolutely fucking amazing. Why wouldn't you? Like, fight for it, you know?
Yes,
like,
babe, I love that. That's why I think we magnetize to each other, because we're both super happy. Like, you're smiling, you're bubbly. We're like, doesn't matter what we're going through. You leave it outside. You're just happy and you just show up. And you don't have to be mediocre every day. You can be 1,000,000%. You can show up in the morning and just say, today is an amazing day.
Yeah.
Not today will be an amazing. Today is an amazing day. I am winning. I'm on a winning streak and I'm fucking empowered. And you just stare in the mirror and tell yourself, like, I know it's hard. Like when I had the illness, it was hard to do that.
And it's like, I think when, you know, I try to get into like coaching women and help them like kind of do what you do. And I wasn't very good, as good as you are. And I think I realized, like, well, maybe if I just help them a process closer, because if I help people feel good in their bodies, that unlimited energy is gonna be like, when you feel good, you're like, what else can I do?
Yes,
right?
Totally agree. Well, when we don't have our health, I feel like we actually lose us.
Yeah.
When I didn't have my health, I lost the whole of me. Like the sparkle you see today, and you relate to this because you went through it, which we'll talk about in a second, but when you lose yourself, you lose your full sparkle.
Yeah.
And then who are you? And I would sit and watch the world just pass me by and think, what has happened to me? Where have I gone? And then I
kept... And it's really depressing, right? So like when depressing. You can't connect with yourself because you feel that bad.
And you lose you. You just, yeah. You're so, I mean, I was in a deep depression. I wanted to leave the earth multiple times, but I kept looking at my son thinking I can't go. And thank God I had him because he was my why to get out of that illness. He was my why to like force myself back to health. And it was through mindset I healed myself. I remember sitting there every day just thinking, I want to be me again. I want to be Natasha again. Little did I know, Natasha needed to be shattered to a million pieces. Natasha needed to die inside in her ego in order to have the new Natasha that you see today reborn. I never would be coaching people. I would never be doing the things I do if I didn't go through that shattering of my ego.
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be a book, right, on how to get healthy if I was healthy, right? Wow. So it's like, it's very, very true. And so
this is why you went through it, because God had a big plan for you. You were meant to go through something so difficult so that you could write this book and give it as a gift to the world.
Yeah. And I think it's like, as you zoom out and you see, I say that in the book, that like, you need to accept like main character energy about your life.
Yes.
And people behave like it's about their background extra of their own life and let other people move them around in the background and they don't really have any direction. I'm like, no, you're freaking main character of your life and just like act accordingly, show up accordingly, you know? And that's like a big thing of like taking ownership out of your health. Stop blaming everybody else that you should be this or should be that. I'm like, no, like the information's out there. This podcast is out there. You already know that you have been informed that there is an alternative way to take about your health, that you use science and technology to feel amazing, you know?
100%.
And you know, a lot of rich and famous people, they're all biohacking one way or another. So it's like the sooner you get onto biohacking, the better. They also all work with the mindset, right? Like, so it's like just success leaves clues, you know? So like, what are the top performers doing? And just do the same thing, right?
So interesting that we go there, because you mentioned before the show and you said there's a lot of masculine biohackers, right? And there are male ones. And
I love Dave.
Yeah.
We love Dave.
Oh, Dave, we fucking love. So we'll just take you off this conversation, because me and Dave seem to go viral every time we're together in anything that we put up. So Dave is a great example of a biohacker. Now, there are other biohackers. I've had many of the top biohackers on my show. But it's just, a lot of them are male. So I'm so happy to see a female one like Kelly Gora. She's amazing. I know you just recently.
Yeah.
I went on her show too. She's a lovely friend and she's amazing at helping people biohack. So seeing a woman do it from a woman's perspective, I love. So what was it you were saying to me earlier? Can we tap back into that about the feminine energy?
Yeah, it's very true. Like how you, what kind of mom are you to your son? Like you're not his dad, you're his mom, right?
Yes.
And like that's like the nurturing, the tenderness and understanding that you need both energy in life. So I'm not saying like, oh, don't follow the male biohackers. I'm like, no, they bring a very beautiful masculine energy structure and going after it and pushing yourself. But when I was biohacking like they did, it wasn't working for me. I felt like I was obsessing about what I'm eating. It was too much. Then I like dove into the science and I realized, wait, if I do exactly what he's doing, aka fasting almost every day and cold plunging, I will actually put on weight because I'm not doing it according to my cycle. So people are like, oh, women shouldn't fast. They shouldn't do cold plunging. I'm like, no, you should. Just you need to do it according to your cycle. And so this whole book is about how to do everything according to your cycle.
Fascinating. So we actually should do this stuff just at a specific time.
Yep.
So when is the right time to fast and cold plunge?
Well, so at the beginning of your cycle, so the first 2 weeks, right? So the day one is your menstruation. This is, take it easy depending of how intense your menstruation is. And then 5 days, 5 to 7 days after, it's follicular phase. It's your inner spring. And this is where all your hormones are so happy for you to go fasting, to really push yourself at the gym with, you know, like really intense workout. You can really fast up to 2 or 3 days if you, you know, if you can, and you're going to see nothing but benefits. But if you do it in the second part, or like after day 21, right before your period, you're going to put on weight, right? Because it's like, it's going to be too much for your body. So, you know, our great, great, great grandmothers knew that. They lived according to the moon cycle, right? We were connected. We were like witches. We were empowered. There was no artificial light that was confusing our hormones. So we would all be linked, you know? So when I'm on a period, you would be on a period too, because we live in the same village. And so that is, we got completely disconnected. We gone on a pill. And one thing I really want to say about the pill, because it's like, I don't know, a lot of us are on the pill and it's often handed as like a freaking candy. I was like, you know, you just can't get pregnant, take it, like no side effects. But apart from like making women depressed and really just like some women get put on weight or whatever, you never get ovulation on your period. And ovulation is your superpower. So like they did study and there were strippers that were ovulating and strippers that were on the pill. And the strippers that were ovulating were getting three times as many tips because they were considered more attractive by the men.
This is fucking awesome. So basically, if I was a stripper and I wasn't on the pill, I would make more money.
Because you're ovulating. So it's just superpower. Your pheromones are just oozing.
Strippers, get off the fucking pill, honey.
Yeah. And also, like, as a woman, I'm like, of course, like, I want to use it to my advantage. I can ask for a raise. Like, use it to your unfair advantage. Like, men cannot resist you when you're ovulating. So this is your day 14.
Wow. Because
why? By nature wants to keep the species alive. And it's going to ramp up all the pheromones for guys to find you attractive so you can make babies. So when you're, and I'm like, why did no one tell me this when they were getting me on the pill? And it's annoying, right?
Like, so annoying.
You also manage sugar better, get stronger bones, and your metabolism works better when you're ovulating.
Wow. So I actually used to find that men really are attracted to me when I'm on my period. What's that about?
I mean, it's all pheromones. It's like, it's a signal. Hey, like I'm menstruating, right? So it's like a menstruating woman means that you're not pregnant. And when you're not pregnant, that you're a potential mate, right? So for a lot of times, like all of these signals is like what men pick up on. And there are incredible studies that women that were on the pill would get married and then get off the pill to have a baby and be repulsed by their partner. Because all of a sudden we get connected to our pheromones too. And we realize that the guy that I'm with, like, repulses me. Like, I can't even look at him because I finally can smell his pheromones and I'm connected to mine.
So the pill just knocks you out of whack. This is birth control, by the way, the pill.
Yeah, I really,
when I was on it, it was like, I knew I had to get off. I was on it for 10 years. I got off it and 3 weeks later, I got pregnant with my son. Like, it was that quick. So be careful if you are coming off it after this episode. We're going to have loads of babies produced and we're going to have loads of messages.
I'm like, what the hell?
Please call your kid Natasha Graziano or just Natasha and tag me.
But when you look at the side effects, actually, you know, there are healthier ways for not to get pregnant that don't exactly involve taking a pill every day, you know?
No, there are. I totally agree with that. It's interesting as well. I think you're healthy when you're not taking medications all the time. I avoid taking anything, even when I have a headache. I avoid everything. And so when I take it, it's like I really need it and it works. Yeah. Like, and my body's like, whoa, thank you for that. Like, I really avoid anything like that. When after I had my surgery, I was meant to take antibiotics for like a full 2 weeks, but I felt like I was fine after about a week. And my doctor said it was fine to come off. So I did. I was like, great. And I didn't take any of the narcotics. So I just did the whole thing without it.
Just in case, you know, but the list of side effects is so long that it's like you take one thing and then you have to take five other things to like cancel it out.
Well, that's medication, which is, again, what I realized when I had the illness I went through. What did you have? Like, what was the thing you went through?
Oh, God. It's like definitely, I didn't realize one of the easiest tests to do is heavy metals, right? So like you just basically cut a piece of your hair, tested, and I was full of heavy metals, mercury, lead. And I was like, why is that? It's like tap water, you know? So I was full of heavy metals, big leaky gut, so big inflammation. My hormones were all over the place. And then once I fixed the two, I felt like everything else like have fallen into place. But I think it's different for everybody. This whole idea with biohacking is that it's actually not that hard to interpret the signs. Like, I don't like calling them symptoms, but it's like they're pretty standard and there's like easy things so you can test, like to test your hormone, test your heavy metals to get to the root cause instead of just treating the skin. Like when my skin was bad, doctors like, oh, you need to do this for skin. And I'm like, well, No, because my skin is shit because of what's happening in my body, you know, so I should have, you know.
How did you heal yourself? And what was it that you had?
I think step one, took myself seriously.
Mm.
You know, stop like hoping that it will just fix it.
Was it autoimmune?
I think there was a level of autoimmune because alopecia is like, you know, when your hair falls.
Oh, got it. You did explain what you had already. So yeah. There was no title for it.
I didn't get like professionally diagnosed because there were so many things going on that like whether it was gut or not. But it was just taking control of my diet. I took a bunch of supplements to trying to support my gut, supporting my heavy metals. You can do chelation, which kind of like removes your heavy metals as well from your body. And I mean, people have like mold toxicity that they live with every day. You know, it's raining every day in LA. And the chances are that a lot of people live with mold toxicity. They don't even know because the mold is, for example, in coffee. One of the main reasons for how you get mold, you drink mold every single day.
So you don't drink coffee?
I do every now and then, but I try not to.
Because it's one of those things that's mold. Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine a life where you effortlessly magnetize your dreams to you? Financial success, the love of your life, the family of your dreams, and everything you've ever dreamed of at your fingertips. With my approach to manifesting, I have a practical method where you use the power of your creative words. It's called scripting. We write in the past tense in a certain way to attract all our desires to us. I've done this. I met my husband in 3 weeks doing this. I helped myself heal twice. I helped myself get rid of a rash on my body. I have helped myself to elevate myself and get myself out there to so many people. I've changed my bank account number. I've added 2 zeros onto it. I have created abundance like I could never dream of. The most beautiful homes around the world. And you can do this too, like so many of my clients are currently doing right now. The success stories speak for themselves. I want to show you how to do it. This is for somebody who is ready, though. Don't even bother coming unless you are ready to transform your life. If you feel like, oh, I'm on the fence, I don't know, none of this shit really works, then baby, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for you. This works for somebody who says, I'm ready. I'm ready to try something else. Try using the power of my words. I want to learn in a curriculum. I want to be in a group with other like-minded individuals, and I want to win. This is for entrepreneurs who are ready to go to the next level, or maybe get out of corporate America and go to the entrepreneurship world. If you're ready, come and join us inside the Scripting Society, and I'll see you there. So did you do mindset work to overcome the illness?
I didn't. I basically just got to a point where I got like really sick, and I was like sick with myself being sick and sick of my own story. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm an athlete now and I'm a healthy person. I'm a biohacker. So I had like an identity change. So instead of having a goal, I was like, what do biohackers do? They have a lifestyle. My lifestyle was shit. So I was like, I'm definitely have taken my health for granted, my energy for granted. And I apologized to my energy levels and myself for like not taking myself seriously. And I was like, cool, I'm a biohacker now. And what does it even mean to be a biohacker? And sure enough, I was just like, oh, they do all of these things. So that the moment has become my identity. Everything else like fell into place.
This is nuts because this is exactly what I coach.
Oh, no way.
Becoming a new avatar, choosing your identity. Like life's a movie. You choose your character, you write your script. So if you don't like who you are today or you're suffering as who you are today, re-identify yourself, have an identity shift, redesign the character that you're playing so that you can show up and see different results in your life. And you literally just said,
what did you post on your social media? Wait, hang on, because you said when you do something once, it's a mistake. If you do it twice, it's a decision. Mm-hmm. If you do it three times, is a
character.
And then no, if you do it three times, it's a habit. And if you do it four times, it's a character. But so we repeat a few of those mistakes because we're not mindful.
Yeah.
And then we think that we are that person. We're like, this is our character. Or like, oh, I'm just that who I am. I'm like, bullshit, that's not who you are. Like sick is not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or lazy is not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have made multiple decisions that made you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can quickly say it. I'm like, oh, I'm a very productive person, or like, I love putting myself first. Like whatever, you really can choose those things. And for me, it was just like, fuck it. I'm so sick and tired of my limiting story. I don't want to do it anymore.
No, exactly. And it is a limiting story. And when you're suffering or going through something, it's tough and you want to get out of it. But until you decide, no, I'm not going to be here anymore. And then every single day, I got better and better and better, 1%, just 1% yeah. every day. And it took me the time it did, but I healed. Yeah. About a year and a half later, I was fully healed because I was able to change my identity. How would the healed version of Natasha behave? How would the version of Natasha with energy, the newborn Natasha, the motivational speaker Natasha, because I wasn't a motivational yeah. speaker. At the time, I was just, you know, dealing with, I was an influencer too. Like it, when I say that, just a fashion influencer dealing with certain things. And that's kind of what I did. And I just thought that was it for me. Yeah. But clearly the world had bigger plans. Yeah. And it's only when it like slaps you in the face that you realize, you know,
you're still like wearing your own connection and it's still like this is a part of your life. So it's travel for me. But we do it from a very different place, right?
100%. We do this to empower ourselves and others. You know, it's like I wake up every day thinking of other people and so do you. Yeah. You wake up thinking, how can I give another gift to a woman of biohacking for her own health, her own body? Yeah. Let's go into manifesting for a bit because you spoke about it before and it was something really beautiful. How do you manifest? What practices do you do?
Oh God, this is such a hard question. I just realized that I grew up you know, as an immigrant, you know, I feel like when you're British, you're not an immigrant in the US, but if you're Polish, you are. But as an immigrant, like I thought that, you know, my parents taught me you need to be the hardest worker in the room and like being very much like wounded masculine energy. I'm going to do it. I don't need anyone's help. I'm going to do it myself and I'm going to do it better than anyone else without anyone's help because I don't know why. I just got a badge of honor for not asking for help, which was total bullshit. And so I like drove myself crazy because I wanted to, you know, do things the hard way. And I realized that that's wounded masculine. And as I'm like working with my coach and realizing the true feminine energy is actually manifesting from just being, right? So being a vibrational match and realizing that what if things could be easy? What if I didn't have to work 17-hour days and do it all myself? And then I spent hours looking for a makeup person for my wedding. And then I was just like, oh, fuck it. I don't know. They will show up. I just trust that they're going to show up. And then I'm chatting to you and sure enough, you just helped me find somebody. And it's like, that's the feminine. Like I'm working with my supplements. I was just like, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm not really like an e-commerce specialist. The next day someone comes up like, hey, I have top supplement brand on Amazon. I can do it all for you. Like just as a friend. I'm like, what? How is that possible? Like it would take me years to learn that. But it's just the universe. Like once you call that in, and I'm like, that's why I really, you know, I'm sure you know Abraham Hicks and yeah, how like how to like feel good and do things from the place of feeling good, right? It's not easy.
Everything is from a place of feeling good. Don't try and manifest when you're in a bad mood. Literally, like I say to people, if you are having an off day, just go do gratitude. Like that's the best that is going to happen right there for you because you magnetize to you what you are, which is what you feel. So if you wake up and you're in a bad mood, honey, just go do loads of gratitude and then go for a walk, do some Tai Chi, shake off the energy until you feel good and then come back and now you can do your manifesting.
Yeah.
When you are feeling good, when you are elated, when something amazing has just happened, like energy, right? You just got great news. You just got something else. Now go script. Now go sit down and write your story in the past tense about what you next want to achieve as though it's already done. Or go and do your little manifesting ritual and start giving gratitude, like Abraham Hicks says, yeah, as though it's already yours. You're so excited about it. Go and give that feeling out to the universe because that's what we emit is a frequency around us. Like when I'm in an amazing mood and I feel good, I walk down the street and then somebody comes up to me and they have great news for me about it. It's so random the way things happen. Yeah. But it's not. It's what we attract to our reality.
And I think it's like, you know, whenever we fall in love, how easy things are and how nice people are to us when we just show up that way. And sure, it's not easy, but like also giving yourself grace about it and realizing like, okay, maybe not every day I'm gonna feel freaking amazing, but every day I can do something about it, you know, and just focus on feeling good.
You can. Is that a part of biohacking, would you say? Feeling good?
I think that's the whole premise. Like I did this reel that got taken out of context. It was like, I'm a billionaire in the best currency in the world. And that's energy and just feeling good. And people are like, oh, she's saying she's a billionaire. I'm like, thanks, but not quite yet. But it's so true. It's like my favorite currency. Because once you have energy, once you feel good, there's the unlimited possibilities out there. And, you know, but if you feel shit, it's like,
I know. It's, you have to feel good, even if you don't. You have to pretend. You have to live in a space of, I'm healed. How the healed version of you become. So give me one of your favorite biohacking things in the book. Like, what do you eat now? Or is it different for every person?
It is different because we don't really share the same gut as, you know, between the two of us. But there are a couple of principles. For example, timing of your meals, right? So like making sure that you only have 3 meals a day instead of trying to nibble and graze and have snacks, because snacks actually disrupt your gut and they're not really good. I would fast according to your cycle if you can. So like knowing when to fast, knowing when not to fast, and eating food in the right order. So you want to eat your vegetable first, then you're going to have meat or protein or fat, and only then carbs. Because if you eat it in disorder, your sugar doesn't go up. So you actually...
I naturally did that.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Well, because I used to eat the carbs and it would fill me up as a kid. So I just went, I'll eat the vegetables first, then the meat. I kind of prioritize it in order of what was good for
you. That's perfect. Because it's like, obviously my mom always said, like, you know, you can leave the potatoes, you know, on the plate, but have vegetables and meat.
Yeah, that's what my mom said. No wonder I got it. That's in my subconscious programming.
Yeah.
Wow.
That you can, and I'm like, no, mom, I won't eat the potatoes. That's, or whatever, you know, polish tub of it or whatever we were eating. But yeah, that's like when you eat food in that order, it manages your glucose. When it manages your glucose, your skin is, you know, stays youthful. You don't have cravings throughout the day. I mean, there's so many benefits. So
I love it. And so do you eat meat now? Are you?
I do.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Are you into dairy or no dairy?
I don't usually. That's the funny thing. I'm sure you can relate that. If you go to Europe, go to Italy and have a mozzarella or like bufala mozzarella, amazing. I feel great. If I have dairy in the US, I feel sick. It's just because it's pasteurized, homogenized and whatnot. And so I eat grass-fed butter.
That's what he speaks about as well, Dave, I think. Yeah.
But when it comes to cheeses, I just limit that because they do create inflammation, especially the ones that we have access to in the US.
So grass-fed butter, you're saying, is good?
Yeah, I add it to my matcha.
Really?
Yeah.
But wait, is butter not bad for us?
No, it's actually really good.
Wait, I'm so confused. Is it ghee?
No, actual butter. You can buy it raw, but grass-fed butter, it's been... I mean, when you look at the... like history, like when they did travel to remote places around the world, they realized that butter has been the sacred food that has been given to women that have been pregnant or about to get pregnant, and it's been celebrated and like been put on altars in churches in Europe.
What? I'm going home and buying a whole cabinet of butter after this. Yeah,
just like good quality butter, right? So like they would have like the butter that was from the very first pasture of the spring, and that butter was reserved for all the women that were trying to get pregnant that year.
Whoa. So grass-fed pasteurized butter?
So grass-fed butter, unpasteurized if you can. That's like just like really good quality. Obviously, you don't have to go crazy, but a little bit of saturated fat is actually good for you.
This is so nuts. Okay, so you add it to your matcha latte in the morning.
Yeah, it makes it creamy.
So cute. It makes it creamy. So, okay, wait. Do you take out oat milk, obviously, and what do you put instead?
Coconut milk.
Nice. I eat coconut milk. Yeah. I drink it. Okay, cool. So I'm like learning the best way to drink my drink in the morning.
Yeah, and just a little bit of butter will actually like... Butter supports your hormones, and hormones run everything. You know, there's a hunger hormone, there's the feeling full hormone. There is, your estrogen, progesterone, like all of the hormones, like we're run by hormones. You have, right? So like you want to make sure that you support that.
What do you think of ghee?
The butter? I love it. Yeah. I would still use it for cooking. I think when you add it to... it has quite a strong flavor in my matcha, but I would use it for cooking, no problem.
And ghee is made of?
This is butter that has been, they removed that, like it's non-dairy version because they've been cooking it for a while and they scrape out the dairy version. It's just like pure fat.
Wow. Oh, I'm learning all these things. Would you eat goose fat?
I would if it was like, you know, good quality.
Whoa, so nuts. Because I used to cook it on my roast potatoes. I make the baddest roast potatoes. Oh, they're so good. In fact, I'm going to have to do it later. They're so good.
Please.
And then they like crisp up. Maybe when you guys come for dinner, we'll do please. Something like that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, she's like, please, I want it. I really want it.
I love Polish food, by the way.
Oh, really?
Pierogies and like.
Oh, I should bring some.
Obsessed. You, but how do you eat it in a healthy way? Because obviously some of it's like wheat and all of
that
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We would have to find something. Like an alternative.
So do you have cheat days where you'll just eat what you want?
I always eat what I want. It's the funny thing that if your hormones are not unhealthy, like you would have something that's quote unquote naughty, whatever you call it. And you don't really, like your body's like, okay, cool, I'll have a bite, but it's not a vibration resonance. Mm-hmm. So I'll have it and like, I can call it guilty pleasure, but I don't feel guilty. So back in the day, I would eat something unhealthy and I was like, oh my God, I feel terrible. All the skinny girls are not eating it. And I'm eating it and I feel so bad. And I just like, it was sitting in my body and I was just like in my head, like thinking about it for 3 hours. Now I'm like, okay, chocolate cake straight from the pan, eating them. I just felt like having it. I get over it. And it doesn't like own me. You know, this is like, I don't attach a story of why I'm having that. But my hormones are healthy. So it's like very rarely that I really crave something unhealthy, right? Because the healthier you are, the harder it is for you to eat unhealthy because you just eat things and they don't taste as good, right? Like you can tell that it's processed.
What do you do for like naughty snacks, like good snacks now?
Erewhon.
Erewhon. Oh, yeah, yeah. All their like delicious pecan butters and like, oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
All the like chocolates that they make. Okay, I get it. I'm going to Erewhon as well right after this. I love naughty snacks. Okay, give me one of your favorite tips from the book for women who are right now wanting to biohack their body. They're like, I want to get ahead. Everybody does it and I'm learning right now.
So one thing that I say in the book that if you want to get healthy, you need to become a bitch and you need to just, you should be a bitch if you're sick because the 80% of women, 80% of autoimmune disease are women. What does it mean? That women have diseases that are like, you know, like that are triggered by stress in the body. And we are pleasing people. We're always worried about everyone else, our kids, our partners, a guy at work, you know, from HR and what he said to me 2 days ago, instead of like, what do you really want? And we're not putting ourselves first. And now scientists are like, why are women are getting sick? Why are all of these diseases? I was like, oh, because women are hypervigilant or too worried about everyone and how they feel. So what I say in a book, if you want to get healthy, you need to learn how to be a bitch because you are so worried about what other people think of you that it's literally making you sick. And you either say no or your body will. So learning to say no and celebrating other women that are saying no and crushing it is like such a good exercise.
I love that. Aggie, this has been so fun. Girl, I could talk to you for hours on this. You're a plethora of... Yeah, we will. We're going to continue at dinner. This is like you're a plethora of knowledge. And I believe that you are right. I think our cycle is going to dictate so much because of our hormones. So women... Yeah. Go get yourself a copy of this book. I think anyone can read it anyway, right? But I think it's very interesting for, you know, people who have periods.
But I think my whole point is like, how much you know about guys? Like, we know everything about guys. We read books that are for guys. I'm like, if you're a dude, do yourself a favor, learn something about female cycle, and you realize that it's actually going to be your superpower. Imagine hitting on a girl. I was like, hey, what day of the cycle you're in? Oh, 14. I know exactly what you need, you know?
Wow.
Right?
So somebody watching this today, get this for your woman or go learn it. Okay, wait. I just opened the book randomly to the most commonly used seed oils in Western diets, including corn oil, grapeseed oil, canola oil, rapeseed, soy oil.
I mean, it's in everywhere, in every single bag of chips and whatnot. It's like, that's the thing.
Which one of these is good?
None of them.
Wait, so what oil is actually good for you?
Coconut oil.
So olive oil?
Ghee.
Olive oil. Yeah. So olive oil, ghee, and coconut oil.
Yeah.
Okay. So grapeseed oil is bad for you.
Yeah.
Soy is bad for you.
Yeah, and it's everywhere, you know? Wow. And that's the problem with like fast food that, you know, you realize that. We apparently 10% of our diet is seed oils, but you don't even taste it. So it's in your oat milk, it's in your fries when you go to a restaurant, and they create inflammation. Then you're like, why am I puffy? Why am I like sick? I'm like, well, because you eat seed oils left and right because they're cheap and all the restaurants do it, you know?
I have to ask whenever I go to a restaurant, please can you do it in olive oil? Thanks. Okay, I'm going to play a game with you because I just opened it to a really cool page. The Dirty Dozen. I just read this page.
Oh, and I don't know if I remember.
Oh my God. No. It's just a really quick game. Okay, I'm going to read a few things out and just say yes or no if they're good for you. Strawberries.
They're all good. It's like they need to be organic. So the Dirty Dozen is basically if you can't afford organic and you will read what these are, there are 12 things that need to be organic. Why? Because if they're not, they're so full of pesticides and herbicides and whatever that there's no way to get them out of that fruit. So for example, strawberry, if it's not organic, you are eating more toxins than the actual fruit.
Whoa. Why is it particularly strawberries and not raspberries?
The way it gets absorbed. Right. So that's why it's called the 30 dozen, because it's a 12 fruit and vegetables that if you don't have organic, they're actually just really bad for you.
Okay. Spinach.
Spinach, I mean, it has anti-nutrients. I wouldn't have raw spinach.
Whoa. Kale.
Kale, no.
Collard greens.
I wouldn't have
it. I just had them for dinner last night. My boyfriend cooks them so good. I'm going to still eat them.
If it's cooked, it's okay, right?
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's all like about like having it raw and adding it to smoothies. Like
nectarines.
Organic.
So, oh my God. Apples.
Also organic. You need to have them.
Whoa, I'm learning so much. Okay, let me just throw some out there that aren't on here. Cherries.
Cherries. I don't know if they were part of 30 Dozen.
They're not in the 30 Dozen. Yeah, no.
So you can have them non-organic and just wash them and you'll be fine.
Whoa. So, okay, the 12 things that you'd say, I'm going to read them out, the Dirty Dozen, to have as organic only. Strawberry, spinach, kale, collard greens, mustard greens, nectarines, apples, grapes, cherries, peaches, pears, bell and hot peppers, celery and tomatoes.
Yeah, and then here you are eating your spinach salad and you're wondering why you're sick because they're just sprayed with so many, you know.
So what do you do in restaurants? How do you know if they're organic?
I don't actually eat salads.
Really? Yeah. Only your own from home?
I just have like vegetables and a piece of meat. And so I used to have salads. And now I'm just like, I don't know what's in that salad. Like,
whoa, this is so out there. So salad could be bad for me?
Yeah. Salads, like, I think salads make people fat. Like on a lot of levels.
Fuck. I love salads. I thought it was good for me.
No, I mean, there are places that are like, as long as they're organic and you know what's inside the dressing, you're good, you know?
Yeah.
But it's one of these things that it can go really toxic really quickly.
Wow. Well, there we go. We just learned all about what foods to eat, what foods not to eat, and how to biohack your body. And inside of this gorgeous book, which I put a link to below, Biohack Like a Woman, you will learn how to get fit effortlessly, feel beautiful, have more energy and unleash your superpowers with biohacking with the queen of biohacking herself, Aggie Lau. Thank you so much for coming
on
today.
Thank you so much. You're like always such good vibes.
I love hanging out with you, queen. I hope you guys have enjoyed today's show. If you have, why don't you tag the show on Instagram, tag at Natasha Graziano and tag at Aggie Lau. That's your
Aggie,
Instagram.
Just Aggie.
Just, oh yeah, it is, isn't it? You got the handle at Aggie.
Yeah.
Jesus, I wonder how hard that was to get.
Oh, you mean how expensive?
Holy shit. And I bet people make good offers for it. Anyway, you can tag us both on Instagram and we will repost our favorites. So tag a clip from the YouTube if you want to put the video or a screenshot, whatever it is, and we'll tag and repost our faves. Thank you so much for tuning in today and I'll see you again next week.